We have a quorum.
We do have a quorum.
We have a quorum.
We have a quorum.
Okay. A very merry quorum.
All right, so you guys in your packets have the meeting, the minutes from September 19th. I'd like a motion to approve. So all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposition, same sign. All right, this motion carries. Attachment 3A from Curtis.
All right, attachment 3A. We've spent 32% of the budget. We're through November. Happy to answer any questions.
A motion is required.
So moved.
Second floor.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. All right, so we're going to move on to technical progress report. Matt Stewart. Matt, if you want to stand in the round, you're welcome to.
Yeah. Let's see if this works. Okay. So I'm going to try to compete. So first of all, a lot of you, we've scheduled our Transportation Outlook 2050 meetings with. I know some of our communities we haven't yet, but we would like to talk with everyone just to talk about future goals, projects that we want to do as we get going on our long-range plan. Did want to just remind everybody of the new funding source for the through ODOT state for the pedestrian and bicycle funding. Remember, there's no local match for that. It's an open period until the funding runs out, but I know several of you that are applying for that funding, but that's just a really good opportunity. I wanted to remind you again. So that's really all I have. Just wanted to say, since you guys are all such good sports for actually attending this meeting and not going where it's more exciting next door, we have a bunch of these Ohio commute calendars. So please take 1 or 10. We have plenty of them. That's all I have. Any questions?
Thank you, Matt. Next on our agenda is the federal funds report that Amy will provide.
Thank you. Here we are. We're almost done with the second quarter, and we still don't have any projects currently sold. We are actually really close on about 4 projects to them selling, hopefully by the end of this year, this calendar year. And then we have quite a few in the third quarter, which starts in January. So, just a note, we did give project bid 112026 a $900,000 increase. They asked for to finish. They had estimates coming in high for stage 3, so they requested it. We were able to, through 2 separate funding sources, give them that kind of bump. So they can continue to proceed and sell on schedule. So, if you notice in the bottom of the sheets, almost every single thing in 2025 is negative. ODOT is really happy with us because they expect to carry over, so it's a definitely really difficult to cover all those negative balances. But we need to sell. One other comment I just wanted to say. I sent a list to ODOT the other day. I went back through Ellis and I checked all of our projects back to 2020. And there are a ton of projects that are not closed to ODOT. If you guys would like to come to me, I have a list of if you're going to request any of these projects. Most communities have at least one of these projects. Just a reminder, if you're local led, that's not that big a deal, but if you're ODOT led, you do not get your money back for local share until they close that project and it's ODOT led. So you may be getting money back, and if they don't close the project, it just sits there in the account and you don't get it back. So I just want to bring this to everyone's attention. Maybe they can speak with their ODOT representatives and we can try to wrap these projects up, whatever needs turned in or whatever needs done to completely close the close these projects out. So that was just my extra comment. So that's all.
Thank you, Amy. We'll move on to old business. Curtis?
All right, thank you. So this will be the third time we've presented the congestion management process. We've asked for comments to other meetings. We have not received any. AMAT staff recommends approval of the congestion management process.
A motion is requested.
Second, Paradise.
All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
Motion carries.
But a new business, attachment 5A in your packet, will be presented with Matt.
All right, thank you, Evan. So this could be a very abridged presentation since it's hard to hear myself sing. but just wanted to kind of discuss, as you know, one of our more important reports throughout the year. Have changed a few things around in this report. If you've been here a while, you might notice that. But still, at the end of the day, we're generating time crash lists, which a lot of you in communities use for applying for each step on. So, very important stuff. Analyzing safety data is one of the core things we do here at AMAT. Kind of old hat talking about Safe Streets Rural at this point, but just remember we have our two different processes. There's a difference in, you know, the time periods between the two processes and the types of crashes considered. Both are very important. Both factor into when you apply for funding through us. But we like to think of these as very complementary processes. They're different, but complementary. So let's dig into some trends. We'll start off with some good news. So our overall crashes are going down this year, about a 9% decrease from 2022. And our more minor types of crashes also went down this year. But when we get to our more serious crashes, there were some more troubling trends. And this one in particular, I thought was kind of notable. You know, if you look at the last few years, our serious injury crashes have been remarkably steady after a fairly sharp decrease 5 or 6 years ago. They did inch up quite a bit this year. Our fatal crashes, similar to the last few years, like the pandemic and post-pandemic world, they're up. They went up by 4, still not quite as high as in 2021, but we're darn close to that. So, not happy to be seeing that.
Anybody have any experience?
And it's the same with both our bike and pedestrian crashes. These, unfortunately, kind of mirror national trends. Both our bike-related crashes and our pedestrian-related crashes went up by about 19% over last year. And those numbers, you know, kind of in a trend line, been going up over the last 5 years, 4 years. So I won't bore you with the details of the process, but suffice it to say, a lot of work on our end, particularly Amy's end. Seth and Amy do a lot of that front-end stuff, cleaning the data, making sure locations are accurate. And then our methodology, again, is we're looking at two things. We're looking at the frequency of crashes. There need to be at least an average of 3 per year, so 9 over the 3-year period. And a certain percentage, 30%, have to be injury or fatality. And then we rank those locations. We do both sections and intersections. When we're looking at our worst sections, so we had 138 that met that criteria, a fairly similar number to last year. And our top 10 list is listed here. We actually had the same number 1 as last year, which is a segment that unfortunately will be having funding for the next few years as a project that was funded last year to improve this point. When we look at intersections, our number 1 and number 2 were the same as last year. We've had some conversations about a few of these locations that are in the top 10 list. So, but these are what come up as our highest for 2023. Or the 2023. Just to wrap up, talking a little bit about bicycle and pedestrian crashes. one of the key findings here, as a lot of you know, if you're involved in a bicycle or pedestrian crash, you're almost certainly is going to involve some level of injury. And we found those numbers to be pretty consistent with previous years. We did not have any bicycle fatalities in 2023, fortunately. And we did some stuff in the report that looks at seasonal trends and time of day, time of year, that kind of thing. This year, the pedestrian crashes were a little more spread throughout the year. A lot of times in the past, we'll see kind of that spike in the summer, and it'll stay through the late summer and then go down. But it's kind of up and down throughout the year. Just about every year, our high school crashes peak in October, and I believe that was the case this year. Or I might be thinking of pedestrian, but either way, like, that's kind of a bad time of year in general. So that's really all I had. There's a lot of good information in that report, and I know that's useful for a lot of you as you apply for funding, but I'm happy to answer any questions. We are recommending for all of this report. Okay, thank you.
See no questions? Motion is required.
Well, I move to approve the second Collins.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. So the motion carries. Next up is the update MS public participation plan. Jeff.
Following this consultation, the scale update the precinct to include a discussion of how we assist the local transit operators, how we develop a public meeting presentation, and the procedure for process of public comment. Otherwise, the document remains very similar to the 2022 presentation plan. Basically, four pages were added to the existing document with updated information.
Thank you, Jeff. A motion is requested to approve.
So moved.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Anybody know how to walk? Okay, the motion carries. All right, thank you for that, Curtis. We're going to move on to resolutions. Got to do. Curtis is going to discuss regional passenger rail. Whatever. Ship eponymous is in Santa Claus.
This is not how I anticipated this conversation to go. But I'll do my best to give a quick summary. Back about 2022, there was a corridor ID program identification for passenger rail, right? AMETS and our region has not been very interested in passenger rail. We didn't even have it in our long-range plan as like an option for recommendations. When I say passenger rail, it's intercity. We're not talking about commuter rail. We're talking, you know, Akron to Columbus, Akron to Pittsburgh, that type of thing. So after a bunch of awards came out, the state put out a plan that said they were going to focus on the 3C plus D. You may have heard of that. It connects Cleveland, Columbus, and Cincinnati, along with Dayton as part of the rail line. Amelia Sykes' office, and she sits on the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee for the Congress at the House. She was upset that our region was not included as part of the 3C plus D. She started a dialogue with the Chamber of Commerce, and the Chamber of Commerce ended up approaching AMATS, asking about trying to get more information about why, you know, we didn't have a passenger rail plan. our response was sort of the what you would imagine. It's like we've kind of been down this road before in the early 2000s and the 2010s, and frankly, like, we don't think there's a lot of opportunity. We don't have a rail line that actually connects to those things, and none of them are class ones that we could potentially use that would go east-west. So at least when we're talking about, I should be saying around Akron, I know we've got NS coming through Hudson and all that, but long story short, it kind of put us in a position where we have some people asking, why don't we even talk about passenger rail in the plan? And the chamber even went further to say, hey, if there's another corridor ID program, you know, would AMATS be applying to the feds for a grant to study passenger rail in Akron? My personal, or I guess the staff position on this is that, you know, we're not anti-passenger rail. We want to see the 3C plus D succeed. We think if it does, then it's worthwhile for our region to look into connecting to it or, you know, doing that. But at this point, we don't really see a viable route that can connect us to that. So our thought was, as staff, was that in our plan, we'd probably have some narrative about passenger rail, what the state's looking at, and how our region would be supportive in general if the opportunity arose for passenger rail. But, however, like, AMAT staff is not interested ourselves in, like, doing the heavy lifting of trying to apply for a federal grant for passenger rail. I realized as I said that, like, that I needed to vet that through our committees and make sure that that's the temperature that I've taken with this region, especially since the last 3C rail effort in 2014 collapsed, and we kind of stayed out of that one as well. So, but I did want to bring it up for discussion. Obviously, this is something that's really going to go to the policy committee next week, but I thought it would be nice to say, hey, like, you know, TAC agrees with the staff assessment that we're supportive in general, but we don't want to be chasing this. Or if you guys feel differently and say, hey, this is the best thing that we could be doing, we could use that direction. So I know it's my original what I was going to say was probably going to be a little more nuanced than what I'm saying now, but I'm just trying to get it out there. Are there any thoughts? Even just with what sort of I'm saying from the staff perspective, I think the other thing I should mention is, as far as we know, there is no all FTA or FRA rail corridor stuff is discretionary. So there's the feds have to decide to have another round of funding. It's not like a yearly round of funding. And as of right now, there are no corridor programs that are even available to apply for. My opinion is, and what's interesting is the chamber comes at this from both Akron and Canton, and they're looking at it from an economic development perspective. Our angle is more from a transportation perspective, and quite frankly, like, where we're going with technology, with investment, with knowing that we're shrinking, not growing, it just seems to us as that this would be a pretty monumental time suck, as well as monumental investment required in the future, that we just don't see a viable path forward for our region. That being said, I wanted to open it up for other discussions. I know people feel differently, and we were just looking for some direction from our technical advisor.
So if there's no application or funding available now, then what would the heavy lift even be?
The heavy lift would be if someone's asking AMATS to do a Fed grant for a federal ID or a federal corridor identification program. So basically what the chamber was sort of alluding to is, like, well, maybe you guys could take the lead, because I guess the corridor ID program has been 100% money in the past. But the reality too is that, you know, applying for a federal grant takes time and capacity and effort. And for sure, as we develop our plan in the next 6 months, like, AMATS doesn't have that kind of capacity to do a large scale grant like that. So that would be what the heavy lift would be. After you identify the corridor, there's all sorts of other steps involved. But, you know, we are the regional agency, and it's so we wanted to have the discussion.
Okay, I've got another.
I know you all have thoughts, you just don't want to say them.
I'll give you my thoughts.
Thank you, Joe. I knew you would.
We don't have enough money to build any of the roads and bridges we want to build. We have to build this. We're required to build. Tony's sitting next to me. He'd love to have a wider steel scoring road operation there. I got 60-some million tied up in the high-level bridge. The city of Akron's got a wide bridge that's starting to show its age. Those are big numbers that have to be taken care of in the foreseeable future. To spend time, effort, money to track down a group that may or may not want to ride the rails. You can't put the passengers on the same lines that you do ones that are pure freight. The cars that are shipped cross country don't bitch about bumps in the line. People do. As soon as you start talking about high speed rail, it goes up to about 35 mile an hour. By the time the train starts and stops and is moving, you don't make any progress on it. You never make any progress on it. You have to be going long distances. From Cleveland to Miami, they got a new rail system. It runs, it averages 35 mile an hour day and night. That's not high speed.
No, it's a 33-hour trip from Cleveland to Orlando.
Do the math.
With a 60% on time performance.
We're going to go from where to where? From Akron to Youngstown?
Well, that's the problem, too, is that no one... I mean, and maybe it should be us, but no one's even... You know, is it coming from Canton or Akron? Does it tie into the 3C plus D? Does it go up to Cleveland? But then it's more commuter and it doesn't actually, as part of that, it wouldn't.
It has to have an MPO that wants to receive it.
Right.
We're just one. Where are we going to be? Who are we going to partner with? I mean, am I going to go to Chicago this weekend? I mean, you can get there by car or by plane a lot faster. It's just a redundancy that. We don't have the money for it, quite frankly.
Right.
Yeah. If we're going to do anything, we should find an outside agency that really likes rails and let them handle it.
That's what I was hoping.
I second what Joe's saying, but what is the benefit to that
The rail?
Yeah, the rail.
Oh.
It would mean
I don't know.
More jobs, more population, more...
Would it?
That's what
I mean, I don't, I think from our staff thought as we've gone through this is, you know, we still will maintain the same roadway burden of cost as before, and we will just have more competing funds. And from a regional perspective, I guess to Joe's point or to talk about, like, this would be stuff that Amtrak would run. So I think, you know, you can look at cities that have Amtrak and, you know, does it change the world? You know, does Cleveland having Amtrak at 1 a.m., has it made a huge economic impact? Like, I think the reality is sometimes that stuff is overblown on the economic side. Because it's just, you know, if you want to ride the train because you like trains, you'll ride to Orlando. It'll, you know, but I think if you don't, it's not, it's more like what Joe said. It's not something that we wouldn't want. It's just... We know our expertise tells us the costs would be exorbitant to build new track. And therefore, you know, by the time we do, are we talking autonomous vehicles? Are we talking, you know, like those are the things that, you know, do people even want to continue traveling in that sort of way? And that's why we feel like it's a lot of spinning wheels. Jim?
I guess I like the way you framed it. That driving rail traffic to the region isn't going to be AMATS, it's going to be Cleveland, Columbus. Once that's in place, then taking a look at it at that time may be more reasonable.
Wayne, I know you have feelings.
I'll say, I mean, literally, we're all behind on, I'm going to call it high speed rail. Give people option other than airplanes and automobiles. But the Akron region is not set up to be a major player that can use the facility. That's all. I mean, you should be able to go from Cleveland to Chicago in something better than 6 hours because you can drive.
Yeah.
On a train or on a high speed. You should be able to go from Cleveland to Denver other than driving for 24 hours.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But, and it's not always quicker on a handy Chicago oil block driving than you get on a plane than you get driving. By the time you're at TSA, get there early. It's a 4 hour, maybe a little quicker. So, trust me. My wife doesn't want some water. So, my point is, we're not set up just yet. But on a big scale, we need to look at.
Right, we're not opposed to the idea.
That should be,
right, but we don't really want to be on the cutting edge.
We're not the region that should
right.
be pushing it. It's the Columbus MPO.
And we benefit, if Cleveland gets that rail, we benefit from it, you know.
I'm with you, Curtis.
Okay.
I love high speed rail, it's great, but
so, yeah. So, what I would say to the policy committee next week, while I'll hopefully be giving a little bit more coherent speech, I will be saying that TAC would concur with our assessment that we're not opposed. We support the idea of passenger rail. We're supportive of the 3C plus D. However, at this time, barring, huge significant changes, our region does not anticipate being on the cutting edge of passenger rail or be looking to identify, for our agency to be the one to push freight rail corridor study or something like that. Does that sound accurate? Would someone mind giving me a motion on that? Just...
Paradise, I'll move.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
Okay. Thank you. And I do apologize for all of this. We'll touch on that later. We are moving locations, but we'll talk about that at the end. So.
All right, we'll move on to resolution 2024-20. Jeff will present.
Okay,
we have a motion that's required.
Motion, Lepo.
We have a second. Get that here.
Mm-hmm.
All right, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Same opposition, same sign. All right, this carries also. Other business first. Bring us home.
All right, we have a calendar. Biggest thing to note on the calendar, one is that we are moving our January meeting back to February just to give everybody a little more time after the new year so we're not quite as crunched. Two, our annual meeting is on October 10th, like usual, before Columbus Day. And finally, all future meetings starting in January will be held at ODOT District 4. They have an all-purpose community room in their basement, which used to be their cafeteria that they've redone as a that we're able to put in a U. They have TV for presentations. We're going to be working with them to kind of streamline the entering-exiting process, but it's essentially free, and I think we'll have kind of a decor that we're more familiar with in an office setting. So with that, though, we do need a a motion, if we could, for our calendar. Any more Brad Koskin?
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. All right, calendar carries.
All right, there's dancing across the hall. Feel free. And thank you guys for putting up with us this. Merry Christmas, happy holidays to all.
You too.